The Loose Cannons podcast is a free-form discussion about film that contains mature language,
such as poop and titty,
and descriptions of mature situations,
such as filing taxes and raising children.
We do not have any concern for spoilers, so if you haven't seen the film or films we are discussing and don't want to have the twists ruined for you, please watch the film before listening to the podcast.
Hello everyone, got another Loose Cannons spooky Halloween podcast coming at you, and to make it spooky, halfway through the podcast, one of us is going to get murdered.
We don't know who.
Yeah.
It's the second surprise. Half of the podcast will just be trying to solve
the
murder.
It's going
to
be the sexy one. The slutty one gets murdered.
Today we're going to be discussing the slasher classic, Flubber, starring Robin Williams. Sorry.
More Robin Williams jokes in our podcast.
I got this
really
these notes
bad taste.
Mixed up.
After we went and apologized for those Robin Williams jokes, making
there you go again.
That wasn't a Robin Williams joke. That was a joke on.
Flubber.
Flubber. Yes.
The existence of the movie Flubber.
Take that, Flubber.
It was just the first non-horror movie that I thought of. I don't know why.
Disney rehashing their own products.
The movie we'll actually be discussing is Friday the 13th, the original from 1980, directed by Sean S. Cunningham. This was my pick, so I'll give the plot description, which is pretty straightforward. Sometime in the past, these camp counselors are gonna hook up or whatever, and someone comes upon them and kills them, and then cut to the present day, and someone is trying to reopen the camp because it was closed down after that incident, and various people are either at the camp or coming to the camp, and they start getting picked off one by one by a serial killer. There's also a flashback such mentioning of another incident at the camp where a young boy drowned because the counselors weren't watching him or something. And then it
They're
turns
busy
out...
They're fornicating.
Yeah. Then it turns out that... the mom of that boy who worked at the camp, who was a cafeteria person, is the murderer. And
spoilers!
Yeah.
<Uh-oh>.
And it's kind of weird because I'm sure it's not at all a twist ending, but for those people who probably didn't, like, know Friday the 13th or, like, saw it, you know, after sort of it had been established, like, canonically... because Jason is so associated with Friday the 13th, it's almost like a twist, a post-twist. Like, it wasn't intended as a twist, but it is now. Like, if you're, like, a 15-year-old and you're going to watch the movies, you watch the first one and you're like, oh, this is one of those Jason movies, and then there's no Jason. I mean, there kind of is, but not really.
Yeah.
That's why Drew Barrymore dies in Scream, because she gets the answer wrong.
That's the only reason why I knew that this wasn't a Jason movie. It's because of Scream. Otherwise, I would have just assumed that it was. Anyway, Patrick, what did you think?
I did not like this movie, and I feel like it's almost too easy to say that this is a bad movie because it's so clearly bad. It just... I kept feeling like I wanted to, like... I was like, all right, there's got to be something else going on here that I can latch onto. It's not just, like, generic badness. Because I went into it, somebody having, like laughed at me when I said that we were going to do this movie. And they're like, that's obviously a bad movie. And I was like, well, I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. So, but then I started watching it, and I was like, they're right. This is a completely bad movie. But I feel like I want to like something about it just to spite them for saying that. But I don't know. Yeah, it's a bad movie. It's terrible.
I mean, you should do podcast on bad movies too.
We're gonna be elucidating things to talk about.
We have done that before.
I think while this is a bad movie, I don't think there's not anything to talk about on it. So I mean, we can continue on for sure.
Nope, too late.
Yeah, I was just like, this is
all right.
This is done.
I am stopping the recording.
Does it. Yes.
This is the same joke that F this movie makes constantly, but I still laugh every time.
They owe us money for that plug now.
Yeah,
it's true.
Basil,
I saw this movie 3 or 4 years ago, and I hated it a whole lot. And I was really dreading the idea of doing this podcast because I was like, "Ugh, this movie that I watched and then I hated. Now I have to watch this stupid movie again and hate it some more, and then we can talk about it." But I didn't hate this movie, actually. I would say I almost liked it. I would say for maybe at least 2/3 of the movie, I was pretty on board for it, and I really liked it. I feel like the ending has some issues that I didn't like, but other than that, I was pretty into it. So, unfortunately, the ending makes up a pretty significant chunk of the running time. Otherwise, I would say that I do like this movie, but...
That's a very odd statement. The ending makes up a good chunk of the running time.
We can get into it once everyone else says
We can start talking about the ending right away, Patrick.
You know,
as usual. Yeah. Anyway, I also... I don't know. I feel like the movie sort of turned interesting for me in unexpected ways. I thought it was kind of at times pretty genuinely creepy, and I liked the idea of, you know, everything being like all the murders being shot in POV all the way until the end. I liked that whole weird vibe of that, and just no motivation behind anything for most of the time. That I really enjoyed. And then I mean, the ending was kind of campy and fun in a way, but I guess we can get into that later, but I guess I would say I liked it way more than I thought I would, and I'd say I liked it more than I disliked it.
I would say that I slightly disliked it. I certainly didn't hate it or anything. What I thought was kind of interesting, I guess, about it was that I kept, that I felt like there were some things that other horror directors would consciously not make, and like unconscious decisions in this movie worked for me that I thought were kind of like interesting, like how brightly lit everything was until it was nighttime. And like it was supposed to be spooky, and normally, like, I feel like the standard has become such in horror movies that even when it's daytime, like everything has like really long shadows and like deep dark shadows across everything, and like everything was like pretty clearly lit and like detailed, and that was probably a matter of budget more than anything else. But I'm so tired of the look of other horror movies that I actually found that pretty enjoyable in this movie. I don't know whether or not it was intentional, but it definitely kept me interested, you know, to look at when the characters and the plot weren't particularly grabbing me. So that was kind of surprising and kind of good.
Yeah, I was going to say one of the things that surprised me watching it is that I actually liked a lot of the way that the movie was shot, especially stuff that was maybe second unit where there weren't any characters. I just thought there were a lot of like really kind of beautiful shots of the lake and just the camp, and that there's like a kind of creepy vibe of just how empty and secluded it was. I thought it got like a sense of place really down that I think a lot of horror movies sort of overlook or take for granted that people are going to be scared, but I thought it did a pretty good job of setting up just how like empty and desolate the area was.
I agree with, like, I also would say that what kind of what I felt was kind of funny about this movie was like the way it lingered on stuff that no movie ever really likes to linger on. Like when people were driving away, the movie showed them driving away all the way until they were like out of sight. And I like when I was watching that, I was like, man, they're like, this is probably for like to pad the running time or whatever, just to like add some more. But it kind of made everything, like, it gave it this weird charm, like, oh, so like this person is going away and they're never coming back probably. You know, like that kind of weird, like, let's just let that sink in for a moment, and then, you know, you kind of come back to the thing.
You call that shoe leather when you watch a character just go somewhere and they're not doing anything else.
I was going to say, though, that I thought, in general, there were a lot of shots that you wouldn't get in a horror movie. Like, there's just, like, at one point in the movie, there's a weird shot that's just the trees rustling in the wind, and it holds on that shot for, like, 15 or 20 seconds, and I was like, this is a cool shot. It's weird that it's in this movie.
There's another shot, like, of the lake, like, through the trees a little bit, just, like, as the sun was setting. Like, I think someone walks up to like one of the cabins. He's like, I don't know, frustrated about something that's going on, and then I think maybe someone comes up to the cabin door, and then instead of going inside of the cabin, it cuts to like a wide shot of the lake, and then there's like no like real horror music or, you know, sound effects or anything. Like, we know that that guy is about to die, but it just cuts to like this kind of eerie shot of the lake, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, I think I remember the shot you're talking about. Isn't that one of the POV shots too? Isn't he like, hey, it doesn't show the POV then. It just shows him like saying hey to somebody inside, and you don't ever see who he's saying hey to.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I think that's what happened in that part. I know the one you're talking about. It's the goofy guy that keeps making the bad jokes.
The one who wears the racist guy.
Call him the racist guy.
Yeah, yes. the exactly. Racist. Headdress guy.
Yep.
Oh my god, that guy. That was part of the reason that I didn't like this, is that I understand, like, there's gonna be like cheesy bad humor, but this humor was just like, when they would try and make a joke, I would just like put my head in my hands, and it was just like, I can't, what even is this? Like, who even thought to put that in a script? How did somebody not go, we need to change this in the final draft of your script here, because this is just not, nobody says this ever.
Do you have any examples? Because
there was a part where he makes a joke and he tries to do like a impersonation of Humphrey Bogart or something like that toward the beginning, and I was just like, ugh. And then there's another part where one of the girls is doing like a Katharine Hepburn impression in the mirror. Yeah. I was like, this is so dumb. Oh, the one that got me though was the police officer, where he comes up and he says like, "You been smoking the grass, the Acapulco Gold or whatever like that." Like it's like they're like, I don't know what he's trying to like use slang or something. It's just so bad. I couldn't wrap my head around why that was even in there.
Yeah, I mean when he puts on the what the
native headdress?
No. When the cop puts on his sunglasses and then is like, we don't like when anything weird happens or whatever. And they're like, he's got like purple sunglasses on, and then again the movie shows him like driving from one to one side and then driving out the other side, like just for no reason really. I kind of thought that was pretty funny.
For me, I thought that scene actually worked in a weird way. It reminded me of like I don't know, like the same similar scene in Cabin Fever, except for like that cop is like trying to pretend like he's cool, but I got the same vibe from him in a way where like he was trying to intimidate them, but like in a way where he thought he was cool. Like I can imagine that character driving away being like, yeah, I showed those kids.
Yeah, I also didn't.
I think it was just the putting on the sunglasses that made me. Oh, like I was like, this is what a guy who thinks he's like a badass cop would do. He just like, yeah. Oh yeah.
I guess
I nailed that.
Yeah, the biggest problem I have with this movie is that, like, I didn't feel any tension because I didn't really care about anybody. So I was just kind of like, whatever, somebody's going to die. Oh, okay, that person got hit with an axe. That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that that was kind of like the fun thing that without caring, without me really ever caring for any of the characters, I found myself like strangely, weirdly, really involved with all their impending dooms. Like, just every time it got closer and closer to them dying, I genuinely got kind of like, whoa. Like, the movie scared me into caring for them for that
really?
Like brief moment. Like, that's, they were
yeah,
like,
actually
yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I agree with that. And I think that one of the things that made it work for me is there's that part where, even though it turns out to be a goof, which is like a shitty joke, there's that part where they think their friend is drowning, and they all just like drop everything and run to try and save him in like a really hurried, just like, I don't know, like, in that moment, I was like, oh, these characters are like pretty compassionate and like care about each other. And I was like, that's not a quality that I usually think of in slasher movies, and in that one moment I was like, oh, I kind of care about these people, like I don't really want to watch them die.
Plus they're all really cool with like sex and stuff, like it's just I kind of felt it was
and
pretty
smoking
cool
weed.
Like they were just like, oh yeah, they're up in the cabin probably having sex, and like, oh, let's play fucking weird strip Monopoly, whatever that
yeah.
was.
That was, yeah,
which,
that was
which
really
I think,
weird.
I thought it was so funny that they would, instead of playing strip poker, they would play strip Monopoly. Like, that's just, there's just some kind of, like, weird, goofy charm about that. Like, picking, like, the most, like, I don't know, weird, cynical family game, and then just, like, putting a sexy
making
twist
a
on it. I don't know, I thought that was kind of funny, and yeah, I don't know. Like, I get what you're saying when you're saying, like, they're not really given that much character to begin with, because you don't really, like, they kind of start dying right away, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I was actually going to say that was one of my favorite parts about the movie, actually, is that that girl Annie, who's, like, the super smiley, like, hitchhiking girl or whatever, the way the movie sets that up, I totally thought she was going to be the main character of the movie. I was like, oh, okay, so this is the girl that survives the whole movie, and then she's the first one to die, and I was like, whoa, that's not what I expected, because she's like the first character that's introduced,
right.
And she's all like happy-go-lucky and just like hanging out, and I was like, ah, oh, wow, like, okay, so she's the final girl, and then she just dies right away, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Actually subverted my expectations.
And that
I
made
feel like
all
it's the last
the,
character we see who actually survives.
And it made all the scenes kind of more tense because of that, because you kind of never know who's actually gonna, you know, survive, really, because there's
well,
no
I mean,
clear character that's, like, more special than the others, you know?
I mean, that was my problem, was that, like, I just didn't care if any of them lived at all. Like, I was just like, I don't know, these people are just dumb. I don't like any of them.
They deserve to die.
I didn't feel like I don't get any pleasure from just, like, watching people die. And even in this movie, like, they die in pretty unimaginable
controversial
ways.
Controversial opinion.
I mean, they die in pretty unimaginative ways. Like, you just look like, you know, it's like, oh, somebody got their throat cut, or somebody got, you know, hit with an axe. Like, that's pretty run-of-the-mill stuff. I mean, I guess for the time it was made, it was like, oh, it's horrifying to see this. But, I mean, I don't know, considering that there are much better films that have, you know, that will predate this by several years, that were way more creative in the way that they did their horror, I just can't give this movie a pass on that. And it, you know, it's not exciting at all.
So I'm going to read one of my favorite reviews off of Letterboxd, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Strip Monopoly might sound like a fun game, but I can think of several problems with this mode of play. For one, this notion that players are to strip instead of playing rent. Doesn't that negate Monopoly's entire in-game economy? Here's just one hypothetical scenario that shows the cracks in paying rent by stripping. Let's say I invest all of my money in building hotels on the Orange properties, St. James Place, New York Avenue, and Tennessee Avenue, considered by experts to be the most powerful properties in the game. Then one of my opponents lands on one of my hotels. They strip naked. It's not clarified whether higher end equals greater levels of nudity, but let's assume for the sake of argument that it does. But they still have all their money, and I'm still broke. Perhaps if some kind of barter system were in place, a workable secondary clothing-based economy could be arranged. For instance, I'll trade you my windbreaker for your waterworks, or I'll give my blouse to the bank if you put a part place for auction. But one of the players in the movie specifically overrules this idea by saying that you can't get your clothes back by landing on community chest. Well, why not? You've rendered the money in the game practically worthless, so why not restore at least some of Monopoly's proper working mechanics? There's a reason that Monopoly is one of the longest-running and most popular board games of all time, and it isn't because you can just make up or change its thoughtfully calibrated game components whenever you feel like it.
How many stars does it give?
3.5. That's from Zoltarak, Zoltarak on Letterboxd. Check it out, because his reviews are great.
Is that the whole review?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I just didn't even mention the rest of the movie, just Monopoly.
That's true.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I actually wrote down at one point that I don't know why I hated this movie. Like, I was like, I was actually legitimately baffled that, like, 3 years ago self, I was like, what did this movie do to make me hate it? Seems pretty good.
Yeah, so
I mean, I think part of the problem is that it throws in a character into the movie that you haven't seen before ever, and then it's just like, hey, this is the killer, and it's just like, wait a second, that's not really how murder mysteries work.
That's my big complaint about the movie, and the thing that kept me from liking it is that the movie is set up like a murder mystery, and it's got those weird red herrings like Ralph and the guy with no shirts and the cutoff jeans. Like, until you see him at the diner, you think maybe he's the killer, but then you see him at the diner, so he's not. But like, so
yeah,
because
he's also driving that Jeep, right? Like that.
Yeah.
Jeep. Yeah.
It is a similar
taking...
Jeep, so. Mm-hmm. Like, the movie sets up these red herrings and then comes up with a killer that no one could possibly guess because the character didn't exist until she was like, hey, I'm the killer. But she even introduces herself, like, that's the first thing she does.
Yeah.
She's just like, hi, I'm Mrs. Voorhees.
Yeah, I'm a friend. I'm a friend of the camp owners or whatever. It's just like, okay, who is this person?
But...
oh, I'm the one that's been killing everybody. And also, I find it a little unrealistic that nobody was able to, like, overpower this little woman. Like, this little old lady. She's just able to, like, just completely destroy all these people. And I was just like, really? How did she put that guy's body up in the tree like that? Like, she doesn't seem that physically capable of doing that. I don't know. There's some weird horror movie logic going on there.
I agree. Also, I wondered if they cast her partly because she has, like, pretty big hands for a lady. So, there's parts where it shows the hands, and I was like, wait, can that really be her? And then it shows her hands later, and I was like, oh, those look like the same hands, I guess.
Yeah, the double is definitely not her.
Really?
Yeah. I read that on IMDb's trivia. The person in, like, the pants or whatever, like, when you see the pants, like, walking up hills and stuff, that's a man.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I looked at those, I was like, that's a man, certainly. This does not look like a woman's legs.
I mean, it was in pants.
Just in pants.
It feels a little bit like maybe the movie had originally planned for someone else to be the killer, and then they kind of made up this ham-fisted ending, because why not?
Yeah, I mean,
because the movie's really cheap.
Jason's not even hinted at until...
Yeah, until the very end.
Until she's like, hey, you let my son die. Like, that's not even the scene that happens in the flashback, but...
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, the whole... The killer and the motivation for the killings are not introduced until the last, like, the end of the movie. You're just like, oh, okay. So there was something going on that I could not have possibly figured out in that time, which, I mean, I guess it's, you know, you don't have to figure it out to enjoy it, but it also feels a little cheap to just be like, oh, this was a mystery we set up, but nothing that we've alluded to beforehand has anything to do with it. It's just somebody completely unrelated to these people.
Yeah, I mean, unless you look at it like this is like a weird callback to like Psycho or whatever, and they're trying to like just take like switch it up and then make the mother the actual killer and then speak in her son's voice and like all these weird things that are happening suddenly. It's like this. Yeah. It's like a film student just like, but like, wait, what? Why not? Let's just do a pull a Psycho here. Let's do that. Just let's make the mother the killer. You know, why not? Since we're being creative.
The problem is that in Psycho, we're introduced to the character of Norman Bates, and you know, just at least the concept of his mother before we find that out. And this, it's just like. If it would be like Norman Bates didn't enter the movie until like the last 10 minutes, and we didn't know anything about Norman Bates' mother until the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this weird guy that runs the hotel's been killing people.
Yeah, which is why it's like I'm enjoying speculating that they're like made parts of this movie before they really had an ending. Just like to cash in on Halloween and like the success of that and make something similar.
Yeah, there's
and
definitely
then it like accidentally turned out to be pretty good. You know?
Yeah, I was gonna say a bunch of the POV shots are super like, especially in the very beginning during the flashback, are very like obviously ripping off Halloween.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
somehow I still liked them.
Yeah.
Even though it didn't look like anyone was dressing like it was actually the 50s, I was like, these do not look like people from the 50s.
Yeah, I was really confused by that. I was like, wait a second, is this present day, the 50s? I don't know, it doesn't look like the 50s.
But
and then it was like present day, and I was like, oh, so that was a flashback, right? This movie seemed like it, the things that were amusing about it were not intentionally amusing. Like, it didn't mean for them to be amusing.
That's not a problem for me.
Yeah, I thought that part when Ralph first shows up and he's like saying all this prophetic stuff of like, ooh, doom and gloom, and then he like rides away on his bicycle, that made me laugh really hard.
Yeah.
That character was just so, he was so like on the nose. I was just like, oh my god, this cliche, that, you know, it's you know,
he has a tattoo that says red herring on it.
Yeah. I was just like, oh my god, this a lot of things in this movie were like that, though. They were like, it was like they were trying to, I don't know, pull something out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which has a scene sort of like that where they're in the van with the guy who's talking about, you know, them, you know, going to a place where they're not supposed to be or whatever. And, you know, sort of a doomsayer and all that. But it feels like it does it way less successfully. And I also had a problem with the acting, like the way the people were, like, it sounded like there was like a cue card off screen and they were just like reading it. That was really bothering me about the way that they were, like, doing line readings. I don't know.
Well, it was pretty.
I don't know if that bothered anybody else, but it bothered
amateur,
me.
Amateur. Yeah, I mean, I thought
not good.
I thought it was like part of the whole, like, it fit the rest of the movie, like the way it was shot.
Yeah, I was gonna say everyone seemed like on the same level, so I just kind of like bought into the world at a certain point.
Yeah,
especially like all the weird. Townspeople, they all had like sort of the same like character actor vibe that was very over the top, and like that guy who just kept saying goddamn, like Ralph's a goddamn nuisance every time he's driving around in his truck.
Goddamn kids.
I also had kind of a problem with the music in this too. The music was just, it was way too much for me.
The banjo music?
It sounded way too much like the theme from Psycho.
Well, yeah, it was that same sort of like dissonant, you know, horror movie music. Just really bland in some places, and then some places it was just like, it was just over the top, like, I don't know, the like ambient new agey like feel good music, like at the very end. I was just like, what is this? What has happened to the music where she's in the canoe in the river and it's like doo, 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 doo. I was like, what is going on here?
I feel like Angelo Badalamenti just ripped that off for Twin Peaks. I was like, this is the Twin Peaks theme.
Kind of.
And this movie ripped off the Psycho theme. So
yeah, it for sure did.
Yeah.
But it also had the banjo music, which I liked.
It did.
And they're driving around in their truck.
Well, that's a very brief scene with the banjo music. But again, a scene where we watch them drive from one side of the frame to the other.
While banjo music is playing.
How else are you supposed to get from one side of the frame to the other?
I guess if you look at it from a different way, maybe it's like, in a way, I was kind of relieved to see like the mostly like lack of too much allegory in this whole thing. Like, it wasn't all about how like creepy country people are, or like, or how stupid teenagers are, or whatever. Like, the movie didn't really have any much of like a strong, weird social message that it was like trying to sell the whole time. It was just completely random all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, people say that this movie is like anti-sex, but like, she's a total crazy person. Are we supposed to feel the same way that the crazy person feels?
I do think it's I don't know, I think there is a discussion to be had about whether or not it's hard to say whether or not the filmmakers were like, I don't think that they had an idea one way or the other on the sex issue. I think that it was just a way to get sex into the movie. It was like, okay, this is why she's angry at them, because of sex. Let's throw that in there. We can get some sex in the movie. Get somebody to show some boobs.
Well, like, that feels, kind of comes in at the end. I don't know if she's angry at them because of the sex. She's angry because they didn't help, like, rescue her son out of the water or whatever.
Right. But the way that she says, like, fornicating, like, it's like this, you know, like, crazy conservative lady from, you know, in the woods somewhere.
From the 50s.
Yeah. And that's that's what kind of tips me in that direction on that. And I don't know, this movie feels, since it's not concerned with, it's so unconcerned with, you know, having any sort of thematic content, it feels so crass to me in that way, where it's just like, it's just a bunch of, you know, the audiences are into this, throw it in there, the audiences are into this, throw it in there, and then I'm just like, I'm just being pandered to, basically, this whole movie. It's just like, all right, we need some sex in there, all right, we need some jokes, we need some killing, all right, just throw it. You know, just throw it together and just, you know, tie it all up at the end. Just make something up.
I mean, again, I don't really disagree, although it doesn't bother me as much as it apparently bothers you. Like, cash grabs are fine if they work. I wouldn't say that this one is great, but I've enjoyed cash grabs in the past.
If it did something that excited me, I probably would feel better about it, but it just doesn't. It's just dull, I feel like. I don't find any of the characterization or any of the action or any of the horror. There's like, the tension is just, it's really laughable, especially in that scene where the girl is like, you know, she's just seen the guy stabbed with the arrows and she's like running. She's like, oh, and then she's like trying to tie the door closed. At first I seriously thought she was going to hang herself. She just takes the rope and throws it over the thing, and I was like, is she gonna hang herself? Oh no, she's trying to tie the door shut. And then she ties the door shut, and then somebody throws a body through the window, and she has to go right back out through the door that she just tied shut. I was like, why did I sit here and watch 10 minutes of her trying to tie that door shut if she's just going to go right back out it?
Well, I don't know.
I actually really like that shot.
Yeah.
Because it goes on for a really long time. It's like one take of her just like piling shit in front of the door for like at least like 2 minutes, and I was just like, this is a really intense thing to have just choreographed in all one take.
It didn't feel choreographed to me, though. It felt like they were just like, all right, just try and pile stuff in front of the doors to keep people from getting in. And then the next scene, they had her go right back out the door. So it was like they completely destroyed anything that they built up in that scene.
I don't know. I can't agree with that. Just because I feel like the way this movie is constructed, that's for sure the longest take in the movie by a really large margin. And just like that they didn't do that all by accident. And for me, when I was watching it, I was like, wow, I can't believe how long this is taking and just like how much crap she's piling and just like all the stuff. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. And then the fact that I have some issues with the body being thrown through the window and that part being a little weird, but it I felt like, you know, the knot thing and tying the door shut was like a clever idea I've never seen in a movie before, so I was like, oh, this character's actually a little more resourceful than I would have given her credit for being based on how everyone else acted in the movie.
Yeah.
And my perception of it.
And I did think that sometimes, like, the tension worked really, really well, especially, like, the way that, because, like, the deaths kept changing, like, really completely every time people died in a completely different way. And, like, it became less and less obvious what exactly is going to, how exactly everything is going to happen to these characters, even though they kept, like, coming into like the same looking rooms and like everything looking the same, like the way it all played out just had like a little slight different edge to it, and I kind of enjoyed that. Also, when Kevin Bacon got stabbed through the neck and it came out of the front of his throat, that really freaked me out. Like
I was
really not expecting that to happen, because like the first couple of deaths looks really, really cheap. Like, just there's something to it where, like, the first death, actually, in the very intro, you don't even see, like, the knife going in at all. You just see, like, people just kind of bloodied in the next scene where it cuts away. Then when the girl dies, it's like her throat is cut, like, and then, and that's over. And then as the deaths kind of pile on, they get crazier and crazier. And I felt like that was actually kind of an interesting thing to do, because, like, right, well, you know, that's boring, right? Doing the same thing over and over. Let's just get really weird and creative here.
Yeah, I thought that scene was really cool, too, just because the way it's shot for him, it just looks like a shot from a lot of movies where a guy's just had sex and he's like, yeah, I just had sex, and then all of a sudden it's just like, boom! And I was like, whoa!
I just had sex.
Also, the girl in the bathroom, that scene was really creepy to me. Like, when it does that tracking shot down the stalls, and it's just her feet and the flashlight, I was like, this is really cool lighting. It made me really miss how cool lighting used to be in the 80s, because now everyone's really lazy about it.
Yeah.
They sure are.
Yeah, well, I didn't have much good to say about this movie.
Sorry, Patrick.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I wish you liked it more.
I don't know.
I mean, I was kind of weirdly put off by how, like, Kevin Bacon is in this movie, but, like, he doesn't do anything. He has sex and then he dies. And then, like, he's not special in any way. He was probably, like, I think Diner was the movie that broke him, right? So that was a couple years later.
Footloose.
But, yeah, like, Footloose.
Footloose.
Right? Footloose, for sure.
His voice also sounded different in some of the scenes. I was like, this doesn't even sound like Kevin Bacon. But
who is this guy?
Who I think that you? Footloose is the prequel to this movie. After they did all that dancing and sex, then they were, you know, attacked by killers.
Yeah.
It's like, my work here is done. Now time to help open the camp.
And it's like the response. Like, they're like, hey, we need to dance. Give us back our sex and whatnot. And then, you know, then people reacted badly. They're like, well, we don't want you to dance. So then they murdered all of them.
Yeah, my question is, how did they get to Jason as he, you know, as he became to from this. Like, I don't understand how...
You have to watch the sequels.
Yeah, I guess so. That transition seems like such a leap, because Jason is basically just like, you know, he's a little boy, basically, in this. And I don't know how they got to him being like
30 years later.
Do what?
It's like, this movie takes place like 30 years later or something.
Right, right. But even when they have him like pop out of the lake at the end, he's still just like a little skinny boy. Like they have
a nightmare.
Pop out of the lake. Yeah, I know it's a nightmare, but it's still like a really, he doesn't look anything like, you know, Jason as you know him now. Like, you know, he's like, he's more, you know, Michael Myers-ish, like hulking, you know, slowly moving with a machete. And in this, he's just like a little, you know, like a little skinny corpse popping out of a lake. So I have no idea whose idea that was.
Yeah, that part didn't really happen. But based on the second movie is really weird. He's just like a dude with a bag on his head. It's real creepy. Like, he doesn't have the mask. He's just like a psychopath wearing just like a burlap sack over his head.
Awesome.
Does it have like cutouts for eyes and stuff? The bag?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I
made me want to watch the second one. Yeah. Even though it doesn't have the same director, so I don't know if it'll look as good, but.
Maybe you'd appreciate this, Patrick, but I read that apparently Gene Siskel, in his review of this movie, gave away the ending, like, right in the beginning, and then said, I don't want people to go watch this movie, so I'm going to spoil it for them. That's how much I hate it. And then he, like, encouraged people to, like, write to, what was it, either Paramount or whoever did this, and, like, complain. And then he even said, like, people should write to this, to the, like, to the city where Betsy, what's her name, not Betsy, or the actress who plays Jason's mom.
Yeah, you got it. It's Betsy Palmer.
Betsy Palmer, right. That they should write to the city where she lives and, like, complain to her as well for starring here. I'm like, that's a little extreme.
That is extreme, like, yeah.
What is wrong with Eugene Siskel? Fuck? Encouraging, like, stalkers and hate mail. Super weird.
That's pretty over the top there.
Yeah.
Trying to find an image of Jason Voorhees with a bag over his head, but it just seems like everyone just has the hockey mask.
Yeah.
That's the enduring image.
Yeah, that's what seems so weird about this, like, series of movies. Every other horror series pretty much sets up that sort of iconic villain character in the first movie. Like, you know, Halloween's got Michael Myers, Texas Chainsaw Massacre has Leatherface,
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, you got Freddy Krueger, you know. This one, there's no fucking...
I found it.
You just never...
You
never see that character, and that's so weird to me that's how it started, and then somehow they built that character in later installments.
Yeah, well, I mean, I feel like this movie was intended as just like a cash grab one-off, and that there's never gonna be a sequel until the movie ended up making like a crap load more money than they thought. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's never any intention for a sequel in Halloween or Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That just ended up happening because of money.
Yeah.
And at least based on Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, I don't think Tobe Hooper had any intention of wanting to make a sequel.
Yeah. And I think what's also funny about it is the title, Friday the 13th Part 2. Like, it's so funny to me that they have to keep adding on numbers to a title that already ends with a number. That's pretty funny to me.
Friday the 20th.
Friday the 14th.
Yeah, Stanley Kubrick had that problem with 2001. That's why they ended up calling
it. I wish they had called it 2001 2.
2001 2, yeah, that would have been
What's in?
Does anyone else have anything else they'd like to say about Friday the 13th?
I mean, I could keep talking about this. Cause
do it.
I was surprised how much I liked it.
Do it, Basil.
Oh, yeah.
I like when you just read off your notepad.
Yep, I'm just going through my notes. I mean, yeah, we could talk about the ending and the problems that I had with it. Because it really doesn't make sense except for as, like, a weird deus ex machina that she kills all those other people without having to go on a long diatribe about why she did it. And then she's like, here's why I did all this.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, why I did it by Mrs. Voorhees.
Is she married?
That's what she introduces herself as Mrs. Voorhees.
Interesting.
I wonder what her husband thinks about all this. It's only her son that died, so presumably there's still a Mr. Voorhees hanging around.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere.
Maybe he died before this.
Yeah.
Just normal causes.
Natural.
I didn't say of natural causes, I said of normal causes.
I think it would be funny if he did. He died of cancer or something like that.
Well, that would be normal causes, not natural causes. Natural causes would mean he was like 90.
No, I know. That would be normal causes. That's what would be funny about it. It's like normally in horror movies you have some like twisted backstory about why this person's a killer. But no, it's just, Jason's dad just died of cancer.
Yeah, that's rough.
He just died of a really normal thing.
Or maybe it was just like Winter May sort of love, and like Ruben said,
he was just real old. It might explain why Jason is like not all there, because the older people are when they conceive, the more likely their child is to have genetic issues.
Uh-huh.
I also thought that the decapitation was pretty crazy. I was like, this is a out of control way to kill off the villain. It's like chop her head off. Tom Savini was really going crazy.
I didn't really like the slow-mo in that shot either, though. The slow-mo kind of drove me crazy.
Yeah, early on in the movie, the very first person that gets killed, that woman in the thing, they do that weird choppy slow motion and a freeze frame and then a zoom in on her freeze frame and then it dissolved from that. And I was like, this is like every 80s effect all in one shot.
This is all they had back then. That's all they could do to it. That was a big special effect back in the day.
But yeah, I also thought that the snake scene was pretty cool in that like everyone seemed like over the top scared at first and then they just like chop its head off and I was like, oh, this got sad in a hurry.
I like the image of the guy with this machete on his shoulder and then the shot from below looking at him and how proud he was. Like that was pretty cool.
There was another like really bad joke. Somebody was like, is it dead? And the other guy's like, unless it just had a really small clone or something like that. I was like, what? Who wrote that joke? Like, who was like, that's good. We'll put that in there. The kids will laugh at that.
Well, clones were pretty sci-fi back then.
Yeah, it's true.
I just can't even with those jokes. Those jokes were just.
They should hire better joke writers. Like that's true.
What's that?
That snake could have lived a long and healthy life.
That's true.
Yeah.
They totally killed him.
We like to think that that's the reason they were all murdered.
Well, I think the scene is about, like, I mean, it wasn't originally planned, but the scene is just about, like, oh, they're scared, and then they just murder this thing with, like, no real reason. I think it's kind of like, that's just what people do.
Like,
yeah.
They get put in a situation, they just kill things.
They tried to hit it with pillows too. That was pretty cool. Like, are yeah, you trying like to smother it with a pillow?
Crazy fellows. The yeah. feathers were just flying around in that yeah. scene. I don't know.
So like they just all freaked out. Yeah.
Yeah, that scene was so weird to me. I just, I don't know. It seemed very out of place. I was like, just, what? Why is this happening right now? Because it doesn't yeah. even really, it doesn't even really establish anything about the characters or about the story. It's just sort of like something for them to do in the middle of it. It's like, we need a scene with all the kids in it. They gotta do something together.
Well, the snake scene?
Snake scene, yeah.
Well, it wasn't planned at all. There was just the snake in the cabin.
And oh, there was actually a snake in the cabin?
Yeah, and they were just freaking out, and they were like, well, let's just shoot this.
That's pretty funny.
That seems realistic to me.
Well, I guess you could say that it's like kind of mirrors the scene where they save the guy from drowning, where it's like, how do they respond as a group to like danger or imminent threats or something like that.
But then nobody responds that way to the imminent threat of them all being murdered because they're all never in a group.
Well, that's
not being murdered, but like to a snake.
But that was one of the things that I actually liked about the movie yeah. was that until like the last two or three people, no one else is aware that something is happening to the other people except for us. So like normally like in a movie they find like the first body and then you get to see like an hour of people like freaking out, but I kind of liked how they were all just like la-di-da because none of them knew that anyone was being murdered until like that last person.
Yeah, because that would have been way harder to justify them being la-di-da about it once they find a body, you know. Yeah, it's like, wait, okay.
It's so weird that...
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, basically based on what you were saying, it's so weird that the trope now has become to continue this idea, but even after people know about the murders, they're just like, they freak out for a couple of scenes, and then the rest of the movie until someone else dies is them like being like, well, let's have sex, or like, let's drink, whatever, like, they're dead, we can't stop it now, so we might as well just have a good time.
But, yeah, I don't know, it seems like at the time this was made, this is sort of like following in line with the trope, because if you look at like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, they don't really know that anybody's getting killed until like later on, and then they're like, there's only like two people left when they figure out what's going on. And then, you know, in Halloween it's kind of the same thing, like they're getting killed out of the view of most of the other people, and then it's only like Jamie Lee Curtis who is dealing with, you know, the killer and all the bodies and everything. And so I think
yeah,
this
Halloween
this movie,
but in Texas Chainsaw Massacre they're freaking out about the other people missing even though they haven't found the
yeah,
bodies yet.
It's not yeah I guess it's kind of the same thing. I don't know. It's I don't know. It but then there's only like
there's still like there's only 45 like minutes of movie left.
Yeah, and there's only like two happens. There's only like two people left at that point. So it's not really like a big group to freak out, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, and Jamie Lee Curtis knows
the same thing
that
as this
like
movie,
a danger.
Basically. It just seemed like this movie was trying to, I don't know, like ape a lot of the stuff that Texas Chainsaw Massacre did, but just unsuccessfully. Just moving it to a different location. They're like, hey, where's somewhere that's away from civilization that we could potentially have a series of murders? Oh, a summer camp. That's something that nobody's done before. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. And the town is called Hope, New Jersey. At least that's what it says on the cemetery that he drops Annie off. I was like, what's that sign say? So I just paused the movie and I was like, oh, it says Hope, New Jersey. And I was like, haha, irony.
I think, like,
where,
I guess...
New Jersey still is where people go to die, even in 1980.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess, like, the main difference would to Texas Chainsaw, and I really say that not having seen that movie in a long time, was, again, like, the whole absence of, like, a commentary on, like, ooh, crazy Southerners or whatever. Like, look how fucking depraved they all are and how fucking backward and whatever. And blah, 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 something about that. Like, I really was, like, in a way relieved to see a lack of that. Because for you know, like, maybe it's just the fact that now, looking at horror, I kind of, like, immediately start looking for the, you know, where, like, the morality of this is, like, at. You know, what this is aimed at, what are they getting punished for, blah, blah, blah. And, like, the fact that this movie doesn't really do that was kind of refreshing to me. You know, like, that's
except
probably...
Except for old people.
Huh?
I said, except for old people. If this movie has anything to say, it's that the stupid old people from the 50s ruined our lives.
Kind of, yeah.
The old people from the 50s don't want you to have any fun.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I agree. I was going to say, when I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and it's been a really long time, as soon as she's in the house with them and they're just, like, acting super crazy, I immediately lost interest in the movie. So for the majority of the second half of the movie, I was pretty tuned out.
That's, like, the that was the scene that, like, got me the most in that movie. I was just like... Because I think the scene in Texas Chainsaw Massacre that really gets me is the one where they, like, prick her finger and then have the old guy start sucking on it. And I was just like, I thought he was dead. Like, I didn't realize he was alive until that point. And I was like, this is fucked up. And honestly, like, I don't know. I guess that's what I was, like, going into a horror movie. I'm like, all right, I'm going to see some fucked up shit in a horror movie. And in this movie, there wasn't really anything that fucked up. It's just, yeah, like, some people got stabbed with stuff, I guess. Camping implements.
I like the zombie son jumping out of the water.
That
part was
looked,
super creepy.
That looked creepy. That I will say funny. that was a really creepy looking shot that they had there. It was the only really creepy looking shot in the movie, as far as I was concerned.
Found something that Patrick liked. There we go. Only took 58 us
58 minutes of podcasting.
Yes.
We finally.
Hell yes.
Squashed him into submission.
We've done
to admit
it.
He likes one part of this movie.
I did like that. I did like the kid jumping out of the water.
It's interesting that we've all been kind of like pushing back against Patrick, but none of us actually would say that we liked the movie. We just think that Patrick's going too far by saying he hated it.
Yeah. I mean,
come on, Patrick. This is a solid like 2.5 stars.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I am. It is very weird. I think partially just because I came on here expecting everyone to have the same reaction to me, which was that the movie's not nearly as bad as I expected it to be.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why you would expect that. I didn't expect it to be bad, so I couldn't possibly have that reaction.
I came in here with kind of a weird reaction, because I was like, I expected it to be bad, and then I was looking for a way for it not to be bad, and it was still bad. So I was like, damn it. I was like, damn them. Confirming what was told to me about this movie.
Yeah, well, at least
I'm
looked.
Surprised you didn't like the way it was shot, because I was really surprised how good it looked to me, because I felt like that was the thing that I really didn't like or remember not liking when I first hated it, that I thought it was shot badly. But then when I was watching it, I was like, oh wait, I actually like the framing of this, a lot of these shots.
I don't like the POV. The POV seems like such a cheap thing to do. Just have people like, hey, what's going on? Hey, what are you doing with that? What's you know, like, that's such a I hate the way
they overuse it, and I didn't like that at all.
It's just like the worst acting in those scenes. Just like, what are you doing out here?
Yeah, well, that was why the, you know, the intro was kind of weird, like, compared to the rest of the movie, because, like, as, like, you know, gradually it becomes, like, crazier and crazier, and in the beginning it's, like, there you don't even see anyone getting stabbed. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, I don't know, the And I mean, the POV was obviously like Basil said, like that was like just a plain lift from Halloween. Like that movie also starts with a POV, right? Like that's
for a long time too.
But that POV I found like infinitely creepier because the person almost doesn't know that they're there until the very end, until he actually like starts stabbing them. And the ones in this where it was just like they just like walk up on them and they're just like, oh hey, we weren't doing anything, we were just standing here or whatever, like they just like start talking to the, like that part where they're like talking to the camera is so awkward and terrible. I hate that.
I mean, I think we could pretty much agree that Halloween is a much better movie than this.
Oh, but, yeah for sure.
What?
Wait, I know Ruben hates Halloween famously. I'm not like, that's no contest.
It's in
really.
My top 10 movies, just in case people didn't know that. I don't want that to continue.
Taken
out of context or whatever. It's my top 10.
But what about the time where you tried to vote it off the canon? In the middle of us talking about how great it is.
I never did that. Not true.
I voted off to rewrite like history over here.
I voted off like my 15th or 16th favorite movie off the canon.
I also feel like this movie is sort of the start in like a downward trend. I don't know, like it was like, oh, here's a movie where you can make a really cheap, you know, horror movie and still make a huge return on it, and then you can just keep making those movies forever.
That's Halloween and Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah,
well, I was gonna say though, it's like with those movies though, there was, it seemed like a lot more thematic underpinning, but this one it was just like, all right, just get some kids together and kill them. Like we don't need to bother with all that.
Yeah, but that's not a problem with budget. That's a problem with the creative team.
Yeah,
I guess so. I guess.
And that was not even a problem.
The thing with Halloween is that John Carpenter is great. Like, John Carpenter makes a $5,000 movie. It's going to be better than, like, most million-dollar movies. I mean, back when he was at his peak.
Yeah.
So, it's just, he's good. Was good.
The Ward. That's better than almost every movie, right?
Dark Star.
Jesus.
Dark Star is great.
Dark Star is awesome.
Dark Star is pretty funny. Dark Star. Dark Star is really, really funny.
Make the rest of this podcast about how good Dark Star is.
Mm.
Dark Star is my second favorite film that I know of by a college, like a person in college.
It's pretty great.
What's the number one?
Yes.
Killer of Sheep. Killer of Sheep.
Ah.
Oh, no. Yeah, that is a good one. Mm. I didn't realize he was in college.
I thought you were
going to
say
that. That's awesome.
That was his graduate
Roland
thesis.
Emmerich's first movie.
That's an excellent graduate thesis.
Yeah, I bet he got an A.
Yeah. One would hope so.
Would be funny if you got like a B minus or something. Like, Charles Burnett. Maybe try something else.
Maybe less incisive racial discussion.
Exactly.
This movie made me uncomfortable. B minus.
We go on to direct Ice Cube and the Glass Shield.
Okay, good. I'll ask again. Does anyone have anything else they want to say about Friday the 13th?
I liked how many shirtless dudes there were.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. I was going to say something about that.
All
like,
those
dudes keep showing up without shirts on. I was like,
cut off shorts.
What's going on here?
It's not the same in Sleepaway Camp, but there's one guy who wears a half shirt the entire movie, so it's like you can just see.
Right. I forgot about
I was
that.
Thinking of Sleepaway Camp a lot when I was watching this.
Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
Sleepaway
the,
Camp.
Two movies that this movie directly inspired, Sleepaway Camp and Cabin Fever, which are two movies I like a lot.
Yeah.
I'll definitely go to bat for Sleepaway Camp. This movie any day of the week.
I guess I should finally watch it.
I like Sleepaway Camp better than this movie, too.
Yeah. For sure. Sleepaway Camp's in my top 100, I believe, still.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Sleepaway Camp.
top 100.
Better than Friday the 13th, okay. For sure.
I think Ilya probably wants to go to sleep.
All right, yeah, that's right. It's late there.
It's super late. It's 1:50 a.m., audience. That's the things I do.
Yeah, so Ilya is the most spooky part of this podcast.
I am. I'm also lit in really spooky light this whole time.
This is reminding me of the podcast you did with Mario and Billy, talking about being up at night.
Yeah, for two and a half hours. For people who
really liked that podcast.
Thanks. That's sweet of you to say. People who would listen to that, I will give them a present or something, because that's mostly 2.5 hours of me talking a lot of gibberish. But I enjoyed it a lot.
My podcast with them was the longest, but I guess you topped that pretty quickly. I think you were the very next one.
I think he might have been. Although I think the 9/11 podcast was in there in between somewhere. Because I remember that being the worst podcast ever. Because like halfway through they have like feedback issues. And they just keep talking. And there's just like feedback. And they're just like, we can't figure out how to fix this. We're ending the podcast. All right.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
Way to end this shit on someone else's podcast.
I like their podcast.
We love you. We love you, Billy, Mario. It's all good.
If it's any evidence, I've listened to every episode of their podcast. So I do. I am a faithful listener.
All right.
Well, I think that's it. Friday the 13th over.
All right. Thanks everybody for listening, and if you enjoyed our podcast, please go on iTunes and give us 5 stars and write a review and help bump us up the podcasting list so more people will listen.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.